This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I hope you don't get tired of me saying that every week, because I don't get tired of saying it. I need to make a correction in last week's lesson. I stated that the genealogy of Mary was located in Luke chapter 1. It was actually located in the end of Luke chapter 3. I'm sorry for that. Last week, we again looked at the scriptures that dealt with the birth of Jesus, and this is in our story this month of the life of Christ. Today, I plan on looking at the three-year ministry of Jesus. Given 30 minutes, 3 years, I have 10 minutes to do each year. Okay, so bear with me as we barrel through this. Are you ready? Of course, there is no way that I can go through Christ's ministry in the period of 30 minutes or so. So I have a different way that I want to present it. So please bear with me as I do so. Wrong one. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Luke 2. I want to start off this morning's lesson right where we left off last week, with Joseph, Mary, and Jesus moving to Galilee. In Luke 2, verses 39 through 40, and when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child, being Jesus, grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Okay? Jesus grew strong. Have you ever thought about that statement when you read these verses? Imagine the strength that Jesus would need to walk, to stand, and perform the miracles that he is going to be doing for 3 years, okay? 3 to 3.5 years. Don't forget that he had to deal with the mobs of people, the Jewish religious leaders, and everything else that he had to deal with during his ministry. He did this, again, in 3 to 3.5 years. I looked it up this week, and again, the scholars, you know, take what you want to from them. But they, using historical events that are listed in the Bible, like the death of Herod and the Jewish calendar with the Passovers and everything, they claim that Jesus' ministry was maybe 3 to 3.5 years. Again, the Bible does not list dates, okay? It wasn't until, I think it was the 6th century, that they came up with a calendar type of doing the years. B.C. was before Christ, and that started at Christ's birth going backwards, okay? And then the A.D., the Anno Domini, whatever, however you say it, that started with, it actually is a Latin term that means the year of our Lord, and that started at his birth and went forward, okay? But again, sometimes when you look at it and who you do the research with, there's not an exact date on that, but more likely it started with Christ's birth and then forward. When they wrote the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, they didn't have a year to say, okay, this is when I wrote this book. And so it's all, when they say that this book is written in 67 AD, it's a guess, okay? So we do not have, the scriptures do not give us a date of how long Jesus' ministry lasts. We'll read here in a little bit that Jesus was about 30 when he started. Okay? So that's the reason, by giving historical events and everything, they say about 3 to maybe 3.5 years. Again, it doesn't matter the length of that time. Okay? It doesn't matter the date that Jesus was born. It doesn't matter the date that he died, or the date that he was resurrected, or the date that he ascended back into heaven. The event is what's important, not the date, you know? And that's one reason that we don't celebrate dates in the church, because, you know, we're quiet where the scriptures are quiet, and we speak where the scriptures speak. Okay, that's one of the things that the Church of Christ is noted for, okay? And so don't get hung up on it because I say 3.5 years or 3 years. You know, it doesn't really matter. But the point here in this verse is that Jesus became strong, okay? As a baby, he was growing in his strength because God knew what was coming up, and he needed to be. Imagine being on your feet more or less for 3 years constantly. We complain, you know, when we had to be on our feet all day. I mean, yes, he was in his 30s, but that was a lot to have to deal with emotionally, the mobs of people coming after him when he taught, okay, wanting to be healed. So he had to be ready for that, and I think that's what this period is for, is to get ready for that. He grew stronger and filled with wisdom, and we're going to see about that here in a minute. Going on in verse 41. Now, I think most people think of Jesus starting his ministry after he was baptized and he picked up his crew of followers. I want to suggest that Jesus started his earthly ministry when he was 12. Bear with me. Continuing on in verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey out of Jerusalem. Then they began to search for him among his relatives and acquaintances. So there's one day. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. There's the second day. And then after 3 days, that's five, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. 5 days they searched for their 12-year-old boy. And when they got to Jerusalem and searched for 3 days, I'm sure being parents, they went searching where a 12-year-old boy would be, okay? And they didn't find him in any of those places. Well, let's go to the temple. And that's where they found him. Verse 47, and all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. I think Jesus started his ministry at the age of 12 in the temple of Jerusalem, when he was teaching the teachers and answering their questions. And they were amazed at how this 12-year-old boy, a carpenter's son, if they knew that, answered their questions. Okay? Again, that's just my thought, that he started his ministry then. Continuing on in verse 48, and when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, being his mother, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And Jesus said to them, in a 12-year-old manner, I'm sure, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? The last place they looked for him, okay? But I must be in my father's house. The New King James Version states that I must be about my father's business. And I like that terminology better, okay? He didn't need to just be in the temple, but he needed to be about his father's business. Mary and Joseph looked for Jesus in Jerusalem for 3 days. Again, they were looking in places that a 12-year-old boy would be, but not in the temple. I am sure that Jesus returned to the temple every chance he got to continue with his father's heavenly business. Verse 50, and they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. Okay, 12-year-old boys usually aren't submissive, are they? They start getting their own opinion on what they think and what they want to do. But Jesus showed what type of a person he was and was submissive to his parents. And his mother treasured up these things in her heart. And Jesus, again, increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus is getting ready for what is coming in 18 years. He is training for the main event. He is getting ready to hit the ground running with his work. Neither of the Gospels tells us anything about this 18-ish year span from when he was 12 until he is 30-something. Again, we see that here in Luke 3, verse 23. Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age. Okay? So we don't know exactly, but he was in that 30-ish time frame. Okay? As we read the Gospels, again, I don't have the time to go into all four Gospels and everything else, so this is going to be a real short edition of it. But Jesus is baptized, and Jesus is tempted by the devil. And I want to jump over to Luke 4 here, verses 12 through 14. Jesus was just tempted three times by the devil, and we pick up the story here in Luke 12 when the temptations are over. And Jesus answered the devil, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. Scholars think that that opportune time came when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying just before he was arrested. Okay? And we'll look at that again next week. But that's the only other time that we see in scriptures, and we don't even see the devil himself coming at that point, but we see Jesus kind of, if I can use the term, faltering. It's not my will, but yours. Okay? And so they think that's when the devil was trying to come at him again. Again, the reason the devil tempted him here, because he thought he was weak. He'd been out in the desert for 40 days fasting. He comes right out of the desert, and there stands the devil. Okay. But he was too strong and did not sin. So, again, the devil is looking for an opportune time to come back to Jesus. So, Jesus calls his first disciples, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, James and his brother John. Interesting that the first four people that he finds, remember, Jesus is walking down the Sea of Galilee, and these guys are out fishing. And he calls them and says, "I will make you fishers of men." But these first four people that he appoints, that he calls to follow him, will all become apostles. In 1 John 1, John records it in 1 John 1 that the next day they find Philip, and he tells Philip to follow him. And Philip finds Nathanael, and Jesus has to convince him that he is who they were searching for. And then, of course, Nathanael ends up following Jesus as well. Now I want to go to Matthew 4, verse 23. "And Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of healing, every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria." Jesus hits the ground running, doesn't he? He knows he only has 3 years, I'm going to say just 3 years, to accomplish everything that he must do. He isn't wasting any time to get started doing his Father's will. This is why he grew in strength and stature and wisdom. And continuing on, "And they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds gathered, followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Notice that Matthew has grouped all of these miracles into just a couple of verses, okay? None of the gospel writers give us any details into these miracles, as we will see through the rest of the gospels. I will discuss this in more detail in two slides. After this, Matthew dives into his teachings. With the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5 through 7, Mark takes a different approach and tells stories of Jesus' healing of a lot of people. Luke points out that Jesus appointed the 12 apostles before the Sermon on the Mount and tells us more of the teachings of Jesus. John gives more of a sort of day-to-day journal of the life of Christ, what he said, what he did, and the miracles that Jesus performed. And again, we don't have the time to read all of the Gospels. I'm giving that reading up to you, you know, to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and see all the things that Jesus has done. I mean, we've already talked about his miracles. We've talked about the parables. Okay, so we've covered most of it in sermons already. But there are a lot more details in there. Again, I don't have the time to do this morning. I want to jump ahead towards the end of the story of Jesus to point out a statement that Jesus made to Pilate during his unjustified trials before he was crucified. In John 18, verses 37 and 38, then Pilate said to Jesus, "So you are king." Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born." Okay? Remember, this is the Son of God. He came down to this earth in human form for a purpose. That's the reason he was born, to bear witness to the truth. "Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" I think that statement he just made, that everyone who listens to the truth, okay? The Jews had followed him from the beginning. They were waiting for the Messiah. But again, they wanted a Messiah that was going to take an earthly throne, kick the Romans out of Jerusalem, give them their beloved city back. And the Messiah, the true Messiah, didn't do that. And because he didn't meet their demands, their thoughts, okay, their dreams, well, this isn't Jesus. Okay, so they did not listen to the truth. The truth that Jesus was born for, to bring into the world, to bear witness to the truth. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus is talking to Thomas, okay? And of course, this is after his resurrection. Jesus said to Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That is what Jesus was saying. He came to bear witness to the truth. He was the truth. Okay? All these things that you have read in the Old Testament about this God that's up in the sky, okay? I'm here in human form to tell you that is the truth. There is a God up there, and he sent me. I have been here teaching you the truth, teaching you the way, showing you the way. Okay? That's what Jesus was born for. And of course, as we know, he also had to die and to rise again and then ascend back into heaven. Those are the things that Jesus had to do. I want to end today's lesson real early in John 21, verse 25. This is to make up for the time that I've gone over, okay? It has nothing to do with there being a potluck. In John 21, verse 25, "Now there are also many, 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 many things that Jesus did Were every one of these to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. What little bit the four gospel writers have given us. And when you read those together, you will find, I would suggest, when I was in college, we took a class that was the fourfold gospels. And it took Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and kind of folded them together to make one constant reading. And again, because there's no dates, it's kind of hard to mesh them, but they did the best they could and mesh the four gospels. The only thing that I had problems with, that when you read it, if they have different wording or a different expansion, all that's included in the fourfold gospels. It kind of makes it difficult to read, but it's all together in one. If you can find that today, which I'm sure you can, that way you can do just one reading, okay? But, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have some of Jesus's teachings and things that he did for miracles all in all four versions. Some are only in three, some are only in two, some are only in one book, okay? So we don't know exactly how long that was. But what we have in those four gospels is just more or less a drop, according to John here, of what Jesus did during those three and a half years of ministry. And if it was all written down, the library would take over the world. Of every word that Jesus spoke, of every miracle, of every healing, you know, every person that he came in contact with, dealing with the Jewish religious leaders and all that. Again, I think that's why we read, you know, that he had to get the stamina. He had to get his strength. He had to get his wisdom and his knowledge growing up during those 18 years or 30 years to be able to deal with those three and a half years. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that, of what he actually went through. And he did all of that for us. That's the reason he was born and came down to this earth, was for that ministry that he did. Laid the foundation, brought the truth, so that we can sit here today and know that there is a God. There is a God. We have studied his life up until now. We looked at his birth last week and very lightly looked at his ministry, his life. Next week, we will look at his death. And then the last week, we will look at his resurrection and his ascension. I hope the scriptures, the study, helps you in your walk with Christ. I hope it maybe helps you to get a stronger relationship with Christ, to maybe know him better, to know why he did the things that he did, why he was willing to do all of this and to face death, a cruel death. And remember, he knew all of this before time began and came to this cruel world to give us the truth. If there's any way that we can help you this morning, let us know. Let us pray for you. Let us encourage you. If maybe you have not put on Christ and that's something that you need to do, we can take care of that sin problem as well. Please let us help you as together we stand and sing.